What's up, everybody? We're back again. It's episode 288 of the Dad Bod Golf Pod. It's Kyle and Ben, and we're ready to talk a little bit of U.S. Open, talk about some cheating golfers or not cheating golfers, who cheated the worst, who cheated the least.
Come on, don't start with that.
L.A. Country Club, did it suck? Was it awesome? We'll find out. But tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online, the number one sports betting website in the country. Sign up today. Use the coupon code BLEAV. And get a 50% welcome bonus. Can you imagine what you would have won if you had put Wyndham Clark, put money on Wyndham Clark? There's no telling what his odds were. I would imagine it was well over, you know, probably 20 to 30 to 1, something like that. So you probably could have really raked in if you would have hit up on Wyndham Clark. Oh. I looked, they have cool for golf. They have cool things where you can like bet versus matches, like one-on-one matches every single day. You can do stuff like who will make the cut, who won't make the cut. There's tons of fun stuff on there, and you can use your coupon code to get a, you know, a big bonus the first time you go play. Sign up today, have some fun, bet online. It's where the game starts.
Ben, before you get into it, there are two things I want to say to you before you get into this.
Okay.
Number one, I hope somebody from the bunker or message boards is watching this because they're going to completely crucify you on your internet connection.
I feel like I'm a little skippy.
Number two, I can't find – I did a bunch of research heading into this, Kyle, and I'm sure there's some nerd out there that knows where to find it. Wyndham Clark, not this time last year, but a little over a year ago, was 313 and moved up to 13th. So a 300-person jump's got to be by far the largest in 365 days that we've ever seen since we've been doing this pod. I don't know if that's in the history of golf or history of since the FedEx Cup has come along, maybe. I don't know. But when I saw that, I was like, goodness gracious, because he's got two wins this year. So
surely Scottie Scheffler rose pretty quick. Didn't he win like several of his first?
Yeah, but he came off the web.com at the time. It was web.com, Korn Ferry now, and like was a hot golfer. So I don't know that he was ever 313th.
That's not that high.
Like 313th is that's 312 golfers ahead of you.
Yeah, but that's in the world. Like there's 175 PGA Tour players. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So I mean, that's not that terrible. But that is a meteoric rise. He's up into the third in the Ryder Cup points now. So it's gonna take a lot for him to get knocked out. He's gonna really have to not play good for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. Congrats to him. But the big thing that we want to talk about to start off with is I came to the table with a cheat scenario that we had to talk about, and Ben shot it down, and then he brought one to the scenario to the table, and I shot that one down. So you guys be the judge. We're going to talk this out. I'm going to go first with Rory's. I'm going to go first with Rory's mishap that could have been monumental. Like, we would have talked about this for years had he not been a choke artist. But late in the round, I don't remember exactly which hole. It had to be probably, I think, 14 is a par
14. Five. Is that par five? It was the one that he needed. Like, he needed a birdie. He laid up on when the announcers flat out said, "What are you doing? Take your 3-wood, park it in the grandstand behind because that's the best angle to the pin. Get your drop where everything's trampled down. Take your drop. Hopefully save birdie. If not, par is going to be your worst score." And he lays up.
Yep. So he lays up, and it turns out he only needed par. But he lays up, and then his third shot from like 125 plugs in the lip of the bunker. Okay, not like on top of the bunker, to the side of the bunker, in the bunk, the facing of the bunker.
In the facing. If this were, what do they call berms over in the British Open in Scotland? That's what it would be in the berm.
A grassy berm is in there. Okay. So he gets up there and they can't find the ball. And Scott, they think it's in the bunker, but it turns out there's only one ball in the bunker. And I think it was Scottie Scheffler's.
It was.
So they go frantic searching.
Who didn't lay up, by the way?
Who didn't? Yeah, exactly. they go frantically searching. They find his ball again in the facing of the bunker, and they go with it's embedded.
You've seen who found it too, right?
No.
Scotty found it.
Okay.
He's a much nicer guy than I am. I don't care if that's me and you playing side by side in the U.S. Open. I'm looking, but I ain't really looking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're doing one of these numbers. Oh, man. I just don't see it anywhere.
That's tough, man. That is you know what? I saw it when it was like here.
I had it. Let me tell you where I had it. I had it right there at that tree. So if it's not there, I don't know where it is. You know, you're that guy.
Yeah, I'd be that guy. In the U.S. Open, you damn right, I would be that guy. Scotty walks right up to it and sticks his finger on it. I was like, what are you doing?
So they pull the ball out, okay, and they're going to go with these embedded ball rule, okay? So I'm thinking he's got to take an unplayable. Like, that's got to be – you got to take an unplayable there, and you got to drop in the bunker. No, not only does he not have to take an unplayable, because it's a embedded ball, he gets a free drop outside of the bunker. Literally the easiest pitch he could have ever had, and he dropped it twice and then got to place it. He placed it. He got to place it and then chipped up, and he couldn't get up and down. I was like, what is happening here? Like, they're doing everything they can to get him back in this tournament, and it turns out that would have been the par that he could have had to take it to a playoff.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't do it. So I said, Rory cheated. I don't ever want to hear anything else about it. Ben says he didn't cheat. So, I technically, by the rule, I guess it's not cheating, but it is definitely I think it's abusing the rule is what it is. It's in your favor.
But he didn't abuse the rule. This is, I completely blame the PGA Tour official that was there. I don't blame Rory. You got to ask all those questions. I told you about a scenario with Scotty earlier that took place, but I don't blame Rory. I'm an anti-Rory guy, but I actually think it was his caddy that they heard on camera going, well, isn't it embedded? And it was like, she clued in the rules official, the lady that was there. She was like, oh yes, it is embedded. I was like, he's fit. And I said it when I heard that, I was like, cause I heard her say, yes, it is embedded. I said, yep, he's fixing to get to drop out of this bunker.
Yeah,
and sure enough, when they dug the ball out and he started dropping, I was like, there are going to be so many people mad at this right now.
Ben, let me tell you something. If I am anywhere around a bunker from the rest of my life, if I'm around a bunker, if you don't think I'm getting free drop, if you don't think I'm calling embedded ball roll, and it's, if it's remotely close, you don't think I'm calling embedded ball roll and getting me a free drop outside the bunker, you've lost your mind. What a joke. Like, that's an unplayable. Like, that ball is unplayable. Like, 1,000.
I say, number one, I say he didn't cheat it, but I do say it was a wrong ruling. And the reason being is because you're right. It's not embedded. And you know why it's not embedded? Because it's inside the bunker. It's in a hazard.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. That's when she said it was embedded, I was like, well, it can't be embedded in a hazard. That would be like if it plugged in the water, you could go, I can't hit that. It's embedded. I need to be able to drop it. Like, it's in a hazard. A bunker is a hazard.
The only somewhat difference is the red line. Like, they don't red line out bunkers. So, like, it's the same thing, though. In theory, the only difference is that red line. Like, if you're playing a course and you're carrying water and you plug it into the bank, like, you skip one and it plugs into the bank, but it's below the red line, it's not an embedded ball because it's in the hazard. Well, a bunker is a hazard, like you're saying. So, like, where is the dividing line? Is it sand? Like, if it's just sand, I'm manipulating the you know what out of that rule. If it's close, it's going to be an embed. If I got a fried egg on the lip, embedded. We're coming.
That's the thing. That was my question, Kyle, and that's what I wanted to ask. Where does the line get drawn? What if that ball is not as high up on the face as it is? What if it catches right between the sand and the face and it's buried? Do you still get the embedded lie? Do you get to say it's embedded, or does the rules official go, oh no, it's touching the sand. It's, you either got to play it or it's, can, or you got to have an unplayable. Like, you have to have an unplayable. Like, that was my only question. Like, I totally get, I'm not saying he cheated. I'm saying he took advantage.
What if some of the sand, what if, like, where you walk in, what if some of the sand's, like, getting raked out outside of the bunker? Like, and now, now where does it stop? Like, where, what do we do? You know what I mean?
Oh, but I know. I'm just saying my disagreement with you is you said he cheated. I didn't say he cheated. I said he took advantage of the rule.
That's a cheat. That's cheating, man. That's did he benefit? Like, did a rule that he took advantage of make him benefit? That to me is cheating. When you take a rule,
let me ask you this:
that you gain from, like you gain from, not gained from that you didn't get called the penalty on you. Like you literally got to move your ball out of a hazard.
That's the thing. He got to move out of a hazard. That was my issue I had with it.
And to a very, what I think would have been an easy chip shot to roll. Honestly, I almost think he felt guilty and he booted it on purpose. He had to. He chipped it. It was a 15-foot chip, and he had 15-foot putt. Like, I mean,
yeah. I will say this. I hope players chimes in with us, whether it be Grayson or Blaine or somebody. I hope they're listening to this and they chime in. When he dropped, I don't know if you noticed this. I thought that you had to drop in between the two tees, and he was purposely dropping outside that outside tee, hoping that it would like stay in the shorter grass and not pop back into the bigger grass. Did you notice that?
Ben, I was so mad
that got me. That's what I claimed as cheating more than I did the drop. I was like, he's dropping it outside the tee. Like, you're not supposed to do that. You got to stay within the tees.
I was mad, Ben, at the time that I just didn't.
Throwing stuff?
I was so mad. And I was like, well, heck, who do I want to? I don't even really know who I want to win. Like, I'm not crazy about Wyndham Clark winning, but I don't want Rory to win. But like, I'm still trying to figure out some way that Ricky can get back in this thing.
I am too. Like, I'm pulling for a hole in one on the last par three on 15. I'm pulling for him to close out 15, 16, 17, 18 long. Like, hole in one, birdie, 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 birdie to end the round. I'm totally holding hope at that point. There just was so much that went. I was frustrated. Number one, I wasn't even pulling for Rory, and I was already pissed that he didn't go for it. Like, I was already mad before he ever got to the bunker, because I was like, what are you doing? You hit the ball further than anybody on tour, and you are laying up. What is going on here? And because he could have gotten there with a 5-wood, not even a 3-wood. He could have gotten there with a 5-wood and didn't. And so I was mad at that. And then I was perfectly okay with him taking advantage of the rule, because they ask a ton of questions. I'm totally okay with that. If the PGA Tour official and your playing partner go, yep, I'm good with it, that's good with me.
Not when you talk about the way you talk about Patrick Reed and like the way that
Well, that's my question. If that's Patrick Reed in that situation that does that, how many headlines does this generate, regardless if he wins or loses?
It'd be awful. Let me ask you, this is real talk. Like, this is off the cuff. I just thought about this. Do you think that, like, through that whole situation, Rory's like, oh my God, I'm going to get away with this. This is going to be awesome. And then he gets over the ball. It was such a bad chip. That's why I can't get up. Do you think he gets over the ball and he's like, God dang, I can't. If I get up and down from here for par, I'm only one shot back. He's got to play all these. Like, how bad is this going to look? How bad? Like, do you think that's crossing his mind at all?
I don't. But I tell you what I think does cross somebody's mind. I think that the headset and that PGA Tour official that was there, I think that they play favoritism to certain players.
I think that ball's embedded.
Yes.
That's what they did.
I firmly believe that. And the face of the PGA Tour that just got screwed by Jay Monahan. Yes. I totally think that somebody was either in her ear.
Earpiece.
Or she radioed in and she said, he's asking for an embedded ball. And they were like, holy crap. Yeah, we can do that. Yes.
Why didn't we think of that? Yeah. either that or they gave her the idea. Like, if you can't find it, or if you find it, embedded ball. Like that.
I do. I totally think. I think those earpieces should go away. I think everything should be out in the open on that walkie-talkie, and we should hear everything that's said.
I'm with you there. I'm with you on that one.
I mean, listen, you and I don't even – we're playing for dollars and for beers. And I'll call you over and say, what do you want me to do here?
Yeah.
I don't want to hit off these rocks. I will if you are making me and I got to, you know, but if I got to take a drop and take stroke, I'll take a stroke, whatever. You know, like we even ask each other. And
see, a lot of times, Ben, when you ask, you're moving the ball as you ask. Hey, I'm not.
I'm not. And if you say no, you got to play there. I say, okay, well, then give me a stroke because I ain't playing it there. I am not ruining an expensive club over a dollar. You guys can have the buck.
What if it's a press, man? We could have been double hammered right there. Who knows?
That's just assuming that the team you're on is always ahead, and that's never the case. I just don't understand what it is.
Okay. All right, hit me with the dumb Wyndham Clark thing that you think was worse than Rory.
I didn't even know this happened at the time. And honestly, I think somebody was looking to discredit him.
I saw it when it happened.
Oh, did you?
I mean, I saw people talking about it on Twitter.
I did not.
As it happened, yeah.
Oh, see, I didn't. I didn't even see it till post-round. I was like, holy crap, he cheated. I was like, he got away with it. He cheated, got away with it, and won the tournament. So I saw it afterwards. Yeah. And I don't even know what hole it was on, Kyle. I sent you the video. He clearly missed the green. He's got two wedges in hand. He's putting the wedge behind the ball. And of course, when you put the wedge behind the ball, they don't deem it moving if, like, the grass, when you push the grass down, if the ball just lowers and comes straight back up. That's considered, what is it, oscillating? It's just considered, like, not improving your lie.
Yeah.
And so, but this actually moved, like, it rolled. It, what everybody else has been, John Rahm got penalized earlier in the year for it and didn't get assessed until the tournament was over. Or until the round was over, not the tournament. That's what made me think, if you're going to do it, be consistent. Like, that's why I said it was cheating, is because a guy has already been penalized this year for it. He got given two strokes for it, and they did not do that with Wyndham Clark. And so that's why I said it was cheating, is because it got seen, it got caught on camera. Those guys clearly saw it in the truck, the PGA guy, because you can't call in a ruling anymore, but the PGA guys clearly saw it in the truck. And it's already been assessed earlier this year on the number, whatever he is, one, two, he's either one or two in the world right now, John Rahm. And they didn't do it on this guy that's a glorified, he's not a rookie, but he didn't win until this year. So
yeah.
I'm shocked that that did not get called, because it clearly moved.
It did move probably a dimple or two.
What Rahm's did.
But here's my thing. I don't think Rahm should have got penalized either. Okay.
Okay. There's all right. No, so you're like me with Rory, where I was like, he took advantage of the rule. Like,
I don't even think he didn't gain. There's no advantage. There was no advantage.
I agree with that. And that's the only you and I have talked about that with rules. If it's all about intent, if you're intending to cheat, like if he takes it and, like you said, that I do, if I just roll it off the rocks and I'm just basically asking for forgiveness. And either you give it or you don't, one of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cheating. But him basically trying to see, checking his grip. He wasn't even looking at the ball, by the way.
Yeah.
Like when you watch the video, he's like looking at his grip. He's pressing the grass down and he turns around and looks at his caddy. He does it again. And as he moves the club looking at his caddy, it rolls. So he never even sees it. Yeah. So that's the thing, is that's why he didn't call it on himself, because he wasn't even looking at it when it happened. But I don't know. There's some people that ask, did he cheat? Did he get away with a win because of a cheating move? Now, I will say, I just want you to be consistent. I've said that about umpires in baseball and officials in football. If you're going to call holding every play, then call it every damn play. Don't just randomly do it. If you're going to call strikes, you know, 2 inches outside, call it every strike. Don't just randomly do it. Same thing with this. Since John Rahm got penalized earlier in the year, two strokes, I think he should have been penalized. But I mean, I get what you're saying. You said John Rahm shouldn't have been penalized. He should have been penalized. I get that.
I just don't like penalties when you don't gain advantages.
Right.
Now, if your ball rolls a foot and you got a better lie, or you do that and it rolls into the fairway, that's one thing. But like, your ball just slid one dimple to the left, possibly further down in the rough. Like, that's one of those things, man. And then here's another thing. I tell you what, we'll talk about that when we talk about the course. But I just don't like rules where you don't gain advantages, and you talk about the cheating, and it's, to me, it's all about intent. Did you use a rule to help yourself get a better lie, a better shot, a better score. I don't think he did that there. The only thing he did there, only thing he benefited from there was not getting called on the penalty that did not give him an advantage. That's
right.
That's all I'm saying. That's all.
No,
I'm
saying. I get it. And I really think they should go and look and change, like at least look at the rules. You know, they did that. They call it the Ricky Fowler rule. When he was out in Tucson a few years ago, I don't know if you remember, it was raining. He hit his ball in the water on that par five right before the 16th, the famous 16th, that yeah. par five that's got water on the backside of it. Hit in the water. He dropped. Ball is in play now. He dropped. He went up to read the green. As he went up to read the green, the ball rolled back in the water. He got a two-stroke penalty for it. It was essentially him hitting it in the water, even though he was not within 20 feet of it. Now, they have since amended that rule, but even at that time, I was kind of like, why the hell is he being penalized? He wasn't even near the ball. He didn't do anything. That was, you know, because if your ball's on the green and the wind blows it off, you get to replace it.
Yeah, stupid.
But so I think that's the same thing with this. And I don't know how you go into intent, but I'm like you. Number one, I'm okay with you taking advantage of the rules. I mean, Scheffler clearly did it earlier on a par three, even though I can't find video evidence of it. But when I saw it on Twitter, but I think that's a TV rule now that they've introduced flight scope and the flight path and all that kind of stuff. So apparently now there's different rules when there's TV equipment on the course. But Rory, I think, took advantage of the rule. I don't think he broke the rule. I think he took advantage of it. I think that's the PGA Tour's fault for not calling him on it. And I think that by the definition, Wyndham Clark broke the rule, but I don't think he should be penalized, if that makes sense.
Okay. I mean, I can get along with that. I think it's dumb, but I not you. The rule is dumb, but that's fine.
No,
that's,
I agree.
The ball moved. So by rule, he probably should have been assessed a penalty. I just don't think he gained an advantage. And that's the whole point of rules, like to make sure that you don't gain unfair advantages. And he did not gain one.
I agree. He didn't. The intent was not there. He didn't move it to get a better lie. So I get that.
It's settled. Roy, you're a cheater.
Also, before we move on and Kyle starts talking about the sponsors, I want everybody to focus on the fact that he has an ass on his hat, on his visor.
Yeah.
Which love I think is totally appropriate.
It's my logo. I mean, this should be my personal logo. Now, look at this logo. This is awesome. The Fields Golf Club, LaGrange, Georgia. They got the sickest. I love their logo. I played in a scramble there a couple of weeks ago. Love their logo. Anyway, one thing that we can definitely agree on is Bad Birdie Golf Apparel and how awesome it is. They seemingly drop new stuff like daily. I mean, it almost seems like they just keep dropping stuff daily. They got new polos out. They have hats. They got some new hats out now. They got one like a triple, it's like a tricolor hat, rope hat that looks really good.
This is the best one.
That is a great hat. I got the same one. They got a tri-color rope hat with like a matching shirt. Like you can really color coordinate it up on their site. Use coupon code DAD15. Take 15% off. You guys are still hitting them up hard and we appreciate it. Keep it rolling. If you want to look loud and but be comfortable and have fun on the golf course, you can't have a bad time in one of their polos. Yeah. You cannot put on one of their polos and go have a bad time on the course. Even if you play like crap, you're gonna have a good time.
Proud of Kyle too. He's really expanded his wardrobe. He's
infectious.
He's not Adam Scott anymore. He's completely stepped up his game. I'm so proud of him.
Yep. I tell you what, you put on a Bad Birdie polo and some Jordans, you're ready to take on the world. You know what I mean?
I agree.
All right. Next topic. LACC in general. It got a lot of – I don't know. I feel like there was not much positive, the whole thing. I honestly loved it. I loved the course. I thought it was unique. It's cool to see a place that not many people get to see. You get to see it on TV and you get to see the golfers play there. It's
problem. That's a problem.
Why is it?
Because it's the U.S. friggin' Open. The U.S. Open has in this entire years ago, the U.S. Open was they wouldn't even have it at a private course. It always had to be at a public course. Now they've changed the rules. It's just got to be a course that the public can play. Well, clearly, with all the damn rules that they were throwing out, the public can't play that course. You can play Pebble. That's also private, but you can play it.
Yeah, but you can't play. You can't play like Oakmont and Wingfoot. Like, you can't play those courses.
If you know somebody, you can't even play. They're pro. The pros haven't even played this course.
I know. Like,
they
were saying
they couldn't. That's not cool for U.S. Open. That's great for a PGA Championship. That's not great for the U.S. Open. It has the word friggin' open in it, and it's clearly not open.
Wait, hold on. Where are you? All right, so are you talking about from a player perspective? Or are you talking about from a fan perspective? Or are you talking about both?
I'm talking about both because even
– Okay, so let's take the player perspective first. Okay. Augusta National is no different than L.A. Country Club.
That's a lie because every one of the pros can play Augusta National.
That's for practice rounds. You get
They can play it other than that too.
I don't
think
that's true. I don't think. I think you. If you,
Kyle, when's the last time that you heard somebody say it's the first time I've ever played or seen this course? And you heard that easily
because
50 times this weekend.
Because there's no tournaments held at LA Country Club. You don't go to Augusta for a freaking Sunday two man. Like, you don't do that. You get practice rounds, X amount of practice rounds that you can play in if you have an invite to the Masters. But outside that, you don't get to go to Augusta. They just have a tournament there every year. If the US Open was at LA Country Club every single year, it's literally the same thing. It's literally the same thing.
I completely disagree.
I don't know how you can disagree. I don't really know how there's a point that you can disagree.
It's so easy because they kept saying how elitist it was, not to mention the way they treated everyone. We'll get to the fan portion of as well a little bit later on.
We'll do the fan.
But the player standpoint, the fact that you got guys that are in the top 20 in the world that have never played this course until this week, at least at Augusta, they get to play even weeks in advance once they get the invite. They've had the invite to the U.S. Open, and they couldn't play out there. They know people that live in L.A. It's right there in L.A. Max Homa only played in college. He said he's never played it as a pro.
But there's no reason to play it. There was no reason to play it until now. There's no reason for them to go play it. Do you just go play? Is that what it is? As a pro, do you go play the courses that you have to play to win?
Oh,
money?
With all the invite, with all the stars that belong out there, yeah, with the invites that they get and stuff like that, yeah, I would think so.
Ben,
I mean, the who's who, yeah.
This is just trying to win.
No, you're not, Ben.
LA Country Club. You're not going to play LA Country Club. You're going to go play Riviera. You're going to go play the Olympic Club. You're going to go play Torrey Pines. You're going to go play those courses because
I know you know why you can, because they're not going to let you play LA Country Club.
No, because there's no tournaments there until this year. There's no tournaments there. So if LA Country Club was the site of the U.S. Open every single year, more people would have played that course. There has not been a pro tournament there in how long?
Like 67 years is what they said, something like that.
So why would anybody ever want to go? Like, why would anybody ever go play there unless you're just like from LA, and I don't know. I don't think it's the same. I think there's no difference with LA Country Club than there is Augusta. Like,
it that. Just it baffled me that you had minimum 50 players that said, I haven't been able to get onto this course.
They haven't had.
I don't know. They didn't go into detail. We don't know. We're doing about whataboutisms now. We don't know if they've had an invite, if they wanted to go play it, if they were in LA and decided they wanted to play Riviera on Friday and play this on Saturday and were told no. I don't know. Like, they didn't go into detail on it, but clearly they said they had tried to play it before and were denied access to the facility. So that's a problem. Like, that's a huge problem to me.
I never heard anybody say I was denied access.
Oh, Azinger said it numerous times. Said plenty of them have been denied access.
Well, Azinger,
they weren't able to
play. About every almost every single. If you could rank the person that lost the most in that whole tournament, Azinger was number one. If you watch Twitter, he was absolutely roasted.
Yeah, he got so ripped a new one.
I'm sorry, I can't go with Azinger. If you give me a Max Homa said that he was invited to go play and he shows up and they kicked him out. If you can show me that
Max Homa, I will. I'll find it. Max Homa did say he has not played since college because he has not been denied access. He said he hadn't been able to get on. He said that. He said they denied me, but he said I have not been able to get on. So I don't know. Colin Morikawa said the same thing. Both of them played in L.A.
They weren't
able to play there except for college.
I'm going to need to see that. I don't feel like a pro is going to have that hard of a time getting on an L.A. country club. But there's just no reason. No, they just don't go because there was no reason to go for 67 years until now. And then they got to go this year because there was – oh, and then they redid the course. That's another thing. They completely redid the course. The course was not that great before this. The course had to be completely restored. So it was not like it was a very desirable location up to about – probably 3 or 4 years ago when they started going through this thing to get it ready for the U.S. Open. So that's another thing. It was a boring – I mean, you can look at before and after pictures. I just don't really know why I would want to go to L.A. Country Club before. Now, I would love to go to L.A. Country Club because that course is awesome. All right, let's just talk about the course in it of itself for a U.S. Open. A lot of criticism. I got a little bit of mixed emotions about it. Here's my number one thing. First of all, visually, it's unbelievable. I loved it. It was.
We agree with that. I will say that.
It was kind of like a Pinehurst, the Tulsa PGA Championship, and then
you know, the Pinehurst was a great. Somebody said that. One of the players said that. Said it's like playing Pinehurst West.
Yeah. It was a very Pinehursty, and then they're actually playing Pinehurst is the next U.S. Open. But so visually it was great. When the sun came out and it dried, was able to dry up. It was a tough course, so it was hard enough, I think, to justify being in a U.S. Open. 10 under is not like some of the. Like just like the highest score or the lowest score that's ever been at the U.S. Open. Like if that's too high, then we can't play Pebble anymore because it was 16 under at Pebble the last time.
Oh, and Tiger! What Tiger do? He beat 15, Ernie at 21 under. He was like 21 under, and Ernie was like 12. He beat him by,
like that. So like it's been low at Pebble Beach. Torrey was pretty tough. I think Torrey was single digits, but. So the hardness, the numbers were skewed by the first two rounds when the marine layer hung around.
Fog.
AKA the fog. Just call it fog. Hey, fog.
It's in the city. Call it smog if you want. It's up to you.
Say what? Fog. I did not realize fog had so much power over Mother Nature. Mother Nature. I thought fog was a pretty passive thing, but apparently it doesn't allow the rough to grow. It makes everything wet and soft. I didn't realize, but it did. I mean, they said it and I laughed, but it did make the course a lot easier when that marine layer or fog was rolling in. Here's one thing, and the other thing I didn't like, and then I'll let you go. There was a lot of holes where they talked about the width of the fairways. They're really wide. They were wide, but a lot of the holes, the landing zones all filtered everything to the same spot. So like, this is what you hear. He hits so-and-so hits a drive and they're saying, oh, let's just see. Let's hope it doesn't roll into a divot. Like that's what you heard that so many times, like because all the ball and Brooks Koepka said something similar. He's like, it's like we all hitting from the same spot. Like we hit, it rolls down the hill to the right. We got everybody's hitting from the same spot. So some of the stuff about that I didn't really like. But other than that, visually, I thought it was great. I thought the scoring was great, especially for Saturday and Sunday. It was tough. And you know, they had an 80-yard par three that just was not a slam dunk. Par three, Saturday, it was tough. And there was an area that if you hit it, you would three putt every single time. Like there was only like one or two putts. And one of them was, I think John Rahm was like one of the only persons that putts from that area and two putted. So that's crazy. And that just blows my mind. But other than that, I liked it. I dug it. I'm looking forward to it in 2039 or whenever it is. I hope I live that long.
Oh, well,
It's 15 years from now, I think.
Here's the opposite of this. Number one, I will say, as far as the fairways where they said the wide, and like Brooks said, they're playing from the same spot. I think on some of those tee boxes, they should have let them play from where the members play from, because there's a landing area and they could have been in different spots. Because like you said, when they land up there at the top and they're all going to roll down to the left and stay, then, I mean, it's – we're just seeing the same thing on repeat over and over. When they talked about the wide fairways, everybody kept pointing out 18. I didn't have a problem with 18. 18 was still hard.
500 yards uphill.
Yeah, to reach the green and two putt for a par, even though it was an 80-yard wide fairway to hit that was flat, they still had a hell of a long way to go to get in.
Yeah.
So I didn't have an issue with that. I don't like 300-yard par threes, the 299s and the 220s, or the 260s and 289s and all that. I've told you before, I'd really like to get away from that. I mean, they clearly proved in the same damn tournament that you can make a hole 80 yards and make it just as hard as you can if it's 299 yards. And so I kind of wish they'd do it.
I would like to know the scoring average on that hole, because I just don't feel like it. It didn't seem like it played that hard.
It was open, and it was open, and they hit three woods. But still,
it just rolls down there to the green like it's a big old bowl.
You know, why not? Why not? Exactly. Why not make a smaller green and shorten it if you're going to do that? Like I don't, you know, like they did with, you know, that they did with 15. So, here's my issue. Are we moving on from playable stuff, or are we moving on to fan?
It's your go.
So I moved from that to that was fine from a player standpoint. My only complaint, as I said, long par threes, and like you just said, everybody hitting that same divot. It's like move the tees around. So that way you can move the landing areas around. You had the ability to do that during the tournament. So you clearly have done it on other holes. You do it on that par three where it plays either 80 yards or 139 yards. Then do that on the par fours. So that way everybody's not landing in the same dang spot for four straight days. But from a fan standpoint, and you saw Dan Rappaport mentioned this, there were numerous other people, Nuclear Golf mentioned it, Zyra Golf mentioned it, 24,000 or 23,000 tickets sold. 14,000 of those were given to hospitality, which are people that are probably going to, like I would take my wife, she's not going to care anything about the golf. So the hospitality is for the free food and drink and be able to get a tour of the area.
Sure.
And out of that 9,000 general admission that were left, 4,500 were given to the members to be able to use at their discretion. When it came out that they said that some of the members held onto their tickets because they didn't want the yahoos from around the area coming and being at their course, I got a big issue with that.
No, I'm good with it.
I'm a
big elitist. I love
you. Know why? Because it's a U.S. Open. Make it open.
It's not open for the fans. Like, that's not what it means. It's not open admission. That's not what that open means. Come on.
Absolutely suck, man. That for that reason alone, them buying tickets and holding on to them and not giving them out, like leaving tickets sitting on their counter, their kitchen counter, so nobody could use them. F those guys, man.
Love it. Peasants.
That's ridiculous.
Get the peasants out of here. Ridiculous. I saw two bikers having sex in the woods on 6. I mean, none of that at LA Country Club. You know what I mean? No.
That's that Bethpage Black stuff that's going on over there, buddy. They got to go to New York to see that kind of thing.
Let the peasants do that. We're here. We got Lionel Richie's house on number one. Like, we don't do that. We don't do that here.
That's where I had an issue. And I knew you wouldn't, because I knew you're hoity-toity. You have a donkey on your hat.
Now, I will say atmosphere kind of sucked. There was not like – you didn't feel like you had the raucous crowd. But then you get
– yeah, Kyle, because they kept their tickets on their damn counter and didn't give them away.
Imagine this. Imagine if you had one of those tickets, how awesome it would be.
Yeah, I guess if I ran in your circles, I'd get one. But I ain't going to – they're not going to give one to me.
You're at the U.S. Open with like – and there's only – 3,000, like 4,000 other people there, and like you that care, that will get out and walk the course. You're going to be on top. Like, the access had to be unbelievable. They let you walk up. There was a crowd around the green on 18. Like, they did that at Kiowa, and it almost tore somebody's ACL. Like, they had to, you know, cut it down a little bit. No, It was a bummer for atmosphere, but like to me, that's what makes these kind of courses. I don't know. That's what makes it like cool. Like it makes me want to go there somehow, figure out how to get there even worse, like even more. You know what I mean? Like the mystique, the like, I don't know. It's just, it's cool. And also like, I had no idea this thing's like in Beverly Hills, like right downtown, almost downtown Los Angeles.
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah.
And I honestly think I've seen it. I just didn't realize that what it was because of the way the trees, like those they're tall, but they're not very girthy. But and you line a bunch of them up around. I've seen that close to Beverly Hills. So I think I've actually seen where the course is. I just didn't know that that's what it was. So it's actually
you a big Vanderpump Rules guy? You watch that?
I have no idea what that is. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds like it might fit me a little bit. No, man, I think it'd be kind of cool to go to a major and you're one of 4,000 inside the ropes. I think you would be, it's unique. It sucks for most everybody else, but nah.
I keep tying it, and I can't get this through my thick head. I keep tying it to being the U.S. Open, being the largest field, it being everybody being able to qualify, one of the toughest fields to be in, one of the largest fields to be in. And then they're like, but only so many people are going to get to watch it. And wow. I'm like, that sucks.
Yep. Suck it, ever. Suck it, poor people. You're not getting it. No, and I'm one of those. So that's what's even more funny. All right, we're gonna wrap it up with a would you rather and call it a day. So we'll wrap it up right after this.
Okay.
All right, we're back and we're gonna do a little would you rather flavor US Open flavor. To finish it up, this was off Golf Digest. It's kind of tricky. I don't know. It's not that hard in some ways, and it's harder in others. But here's the scenario: would you rather play every major venue in a calendar year, so one time that, but that's all you get to play them, or you get U.S. Open tickets? For 10 U.S. Open weekend tickets for 10 years. So you get the Saturday, Sunday U.S. Open tickets for 10 years. That means you're going to get a Pebble in, you're going to get an Oakmont in, you're going to get a Wingfoot, you're going to get a Pinehurst, all the elite courses. And there's no reason to say you can't stay after the fact and, you know, maybe play, you know, after you're there, maybe you can play afterwards. So
now you're pulling to me.
There's no reason it says you can't do that. So what would you rather do? Would you rather play every major venue of this year? So like you get, obviously Augusta, you get, LA Country Club, which you hate. You get, the PGA
Champions. No, I told you from a player standpoint, I do like the look of it. I did tell you that.
Yeah. You get Beth, where was the, I don't even know where the, I can't remember where the PGA Championship was now.
Where was it? I will say this. When I look at this, I'm torn. And the reason I'm torn is because, you got Augusta. And now you've got the elitist LA Country Club that hadn't been played in 69 years and won't be played again until 2039. So you do have two of the courses that are damn near tough to get on, it sounds like.
Yeah.
However, I'm not big on watching Saturday and Sunday golf at the venue. I'm big on watching Thursday, Friday, or practice round golf at the venue. And then being able to see all angles on Saturday and Sunday from the house.
Yeah.
So, but with that said, I mean, if I got U.S. Open weekend tickets every year for 10 years, Kyle, if I play my cards right, I can scout these tickets for 10 years and I can play some really good courses 10 years from now. You know what I mean?
I don't think I hadn't thought about that.
So
what do you pick? You're going back and forth. What do you pick?
So I got to go. I'm going to take the weekend tickets because if they happen to take place at a venue that I want to do, I'll go. Yeah. But if it's a venue that I'm like, I've seen Pinehurst. I've played Pinehurst. Who wants my tickets and what are you willing to pay for them? Because I'll sit at the house and watch them. And then I will use that money to go to TPC at Sawgrass instead.
There you go. There you go.
So hey. I'm going to take the weekend passes. That is so stupid for me to take. But I would do that.
Go to Pebble. I mean, go see Oakmont. Go to Wing. I mean, you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I might. That's tempting. You know, if you wouldn't have told me that only 4,000 people got in per day at LA Country Club, I would have taken the tickets also. But now I get to say I played LA Country Club. You kidding me? Is the elitist that I am, and I get to basically call.
So you are saying that it's hard to get into and play.
Yeah, as a person when there's no tournament there. Yes, it's tough
as a person.
Yeah, as a regular human.
I'm a people trying to get in. I'm a people.
I'd go play. Number one, you get to play Augusta. That's no question. Now I tell you what hurts. I cannot think of where the PGA Championship was. Where was the PGA Championship?
I don't know.
Look it up while I'm thinking about this. And then I don't think the Open is not at one of the.
No.
It's not at one of the typical courses that you just know, you know, off the top of your head. So I think that hurts. If it was at St. Andrews.
Oh, it's Oak Hill. Yeah, Oak Hill.
Yeah, Oak Hill. It was great. That's where Jason Duffner won his. So I would take the courses just for Augusta alone. And then you throw LA Country Club and I get to go get a little LA Country Club swag. Woo-hoo. I'll wear that sucker out. I'll wear whatever it is. It'll be worn, slapped out in notes.
Yeah. So they did this promotion during the US Open where you could get online and you could order direct from the pro shop from there. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, trust me. You may have could have gotten away with it. I think all they had was medium shirts. That was all that was left. You may have could have gotten away with it. I was like, well, this does me absolutely zero good right now, being able to get on here. Nothing for fat guys on there, I can tell you that.
Oh, man, I love it. No, it was I don't know. I think it'd be fun. Just the Augusta alone, I'd probably pick it just for Augusta alone. But I get where you're coming from, too. There's a lot of flexibility there in getting those two tickets and what you can and can't do.
I mean, because you're talking 10 years. And there's going to be 10 years. I mean, you got years that you just are being like, you know, I just don't feel like going. So I'll scout these things or I'll put them out on a website to buy and make a lot of money doing it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're talking 20 grand minimum. You ought to be able to sell. No, it's for the weekend. So it'd be it should be $1,000 a ticket, no matter. So, I mean, that's another thing. Are you getting two tickets or are you getting one ticket? You got to go by yourself.
Yeah, it doesn't say that in the thing. If you definitely get a pair, it's definitely worth it to do the tickets.
Oh, for sure. Four tickets for every weekend. I mean, that's 40 grand minimum if you sold every single one of them, I would think. All right. Great show. US Open was fun. Wish we could have had, really was pulling for Ricky. Hope he could have, he could have pulled it out. That would have been an epic show, epic celebration afterwards. But he's playing great golf, so maybe he'll have another shot a little bit later or make a run in the playoffs. So y'all have a great rest of the week. Remember that tonight's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Don't forget that coupon code Believe, and then we'll catch you next time. This is episode 288 of the Dad by Golf Pod, and we're always
stroking.